Now, here is Rick Smith.
One of the funny things I woke up to this morning, I flipped on CNN, you know, just waiting for the kids to get on the bus. And, you know, we were, you know, first day of school, doing all that. Make sure you got your backpack, make sure your lunch is packed, make sure you got your both shoes on, socks, you know, all that stuff. And so I flipped on CNN and there's Anthony Scaramucci just going after Trump. And you go, jilted lover, not sure, patriot, like he was trying to pitch, I don't know, a little both maybe. I don't know, but interesting to see that the mooch has done a complete 180 on Trump. And of course, Trump had to tweet out that something he's, I guess, highly unstable and a nut job. So there you go. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world. And in Washington, D.C., Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So what do you think of the mooch doing the 180?
I was asked about this today, and I was not, and I can answer this one very succinctly and candidly and honestly. When Mooch came in, the first 10 minutes, I was on radio and all over him, period. I thought he was a lunatic, a goofball, should never even be in the White House. What on earth are they doing? I mean, he's like standing there going, yo, you know, and the whole nine yards. Didn't like him then, don't like him now. I think this is all about money. Yep. You know, he's out there, Trump, loves him, Trump, love Trump. Hey, now the mooch. And here's the biggest thing I got about it. If you've got somebody like, I don't know, former Secretary of State, a former general, this or that supported Trump and then turned on him, yeah, you know, people are going to have some credibility. This guy is such a goofball. What a goofball. Shouldn't have ever had him there. I watched him and I thought, you know, it just, even, you know, Trump hiring him was a shocker.
Yeah. Well, no,
I predicted the first day, Rick, by the way, 3 weeks he'd last.
Yeah.
He lasted 11 days.
Yeah. And you go, you know, why'd you even take the job? You were so in over your head.
Oh, I mean, it's so, you know, yeah.
He did make Spice Boy look good, though.
Yeah, cha-ching, bling. The guy's trying to make a dollar, you know. He's just. It'll be a trivia question. He'll be on the back of a milk carton. You know, whatever happened to Mooch, you know.
Yeah, and to be honest, I wouldn't care. Yeah, because I watched them going, you know, come on. And he's saying, you know, we're going to put a coalition together and all these people are going to, in the fall, we're going to.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting so much credibility and attention, I know, because he's split. But, you know, like I said, if it was somebody else who was in the White House and had been, you know, whatever. As a former chief of staff or something, that'd be different. But man, this guy, wow.
So do you think CNN's reaching at this? I mean, is this a story?
I don't think it is, Rick. I think the guy's got such lack of credibility. I mean, they all thought he was a lunatic when he started there, you know?
Because I'm thinking about if I had this guy on the show, I would probably just be mocking him. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't know what else you can do but to mock him.
Oh, he's a Saturday Night Live skit.
No, he's not even that, because do they even bother doing him on Saturday Night Live now?
I think they did.
Oh, did they?
Because he was, yeah. Because, I mean, the first 5 minutes he's standing there. My chief of staff hired somebody one time, and they were supposed to do executive assistant work, which is working with members for me and stuff like that, you know. And the guy stood there. I didn't know him from Adam, and he stood there and he said, you know, I'm going to think about how I'm going to approach this job, and he took a fake golf swing.
What?
Yeah, he did a fake golf swing in the office, and I'm like, to my chief staff, this guy's got to go. This guy was, you know, yeah, he's going to decide. This is his first day there. Yeah, he's going to decide how he's going to approach the members. He's doing a fake golf swing. I'm like, okay, he reminds me of the mooch.
Yeah.
He lasted a day with us, you know.
Yeah, his coffee didn't even get cold, so... you know, but here again, I'm watching this. I'm going, you know, isn't there other news? And I guess this is where CNN gets mocked, because they gave him like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, okay, and then he's going to predict a month that Trump's out, and he's going to do this, and he's going to lead that, and it's just the credibility factor's not there.
Now, I was waiting. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was waiting for the book drop. You know, buy my book, or I was waiting for the tagline of "Hey, send me money," or I was waiting for that. Yeah, well, So there you go. Already giving the mooch more than I wanted to. Let's move on. Trump unhinged over the mooch. Also, you know, going on about the economy. You know, the economy maybe not as great as he wants it to be.
Well, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, the job of the president to build things up, you know, because words are important, et cetera. And then I saw two of his spokespeople, you know, on Sunday were saying it's not that bad. Well, here's the thing.
It's not that bad, Bob. It's not that bad. It's different than the best ever.
Right, right. But the proof's in the pudding. It's okay to build up the economy, but you got to watch what you do to affect the economy.
Right.
That's the difference. And they're careless about certain things. There's other factors. There's China. Now, I don't think we're going to reel into the depths of a recession right now. I don't. But, you know, I view the stock market as Las Vegas. It's a giant game.
Yep.
A lot of manipulation. A lot of the wealthy want to have some of this panic sometimes because things drop and they don't have a big investment of their life savings in there, so they can sit and with that drop, those stock prices dropped, I'll buy now.
Yep.
And then when it goes up, I'll be richer.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of that. So I'm, you know, and then of course with the media, some of them they'll want to overstate it because if they don't like Trump. But then again, Trump's people do enough to do. I mean, John Bolton's trying his best to get us into a war. What do you think that's going to do to the economy? Might make his buddies rich at Halliburton, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of this stuff, it just seems like another reason why I want to see the tax returns. I want to know what he's invested in. I want to know what the kids are invested in. You know, how much of this is just gamesmanship? I mean, you know, because I've been having this same conversation with people about, you know, the possibility of a recession and the dreaded inverted yield curve and all of this stuff. And at the end of it, it's always working people who get screwed. No matter if a recession hits or not, or how hard it hits, because ultimately it's their pension money, it's their savings money, it's their homes that are going to be repossessed. It's not Trump, it's not the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Real quick, I want to get your thoughts on Greenland. Should we buy Greenland?
You know, I must admit, I have not read the article. I saw the headlines. What's the benefit to buying Greenland?
I don't know. You know, we have a larger footprint. Now, I mean, you know, when this first hit, I said there are some strategic reasons why you might want Greenland. It's got supposedly lots of mineral reserves while it's still above water. You know, it's got, you know, all that. And it's defense-wise, we've already got a base there, I guess. You could expand that. It gives you a bigger footprint. I mean, there are some strategic reasons possible, but, you know, why would you buy an asset that I think everybody agrees in the next 100 years is going to be underwater?
Mm-hmm.
Especially since we're doing nothing on climate change.
I didn't understand that. I didn't read the articles. I saw it, but I was so busy with other stuff. I thought, okay, I thought maybe it was kind of an onion piece.
Evidently, Denmark's not. They're complaining about the $500 million they have to pay to subsidize the island.
Oh, okay.
And you know they're not sure they're going to be able to keep up. You know, giving them that kind of subsidy. So Trump figures, hey, we can. You know, they're struggling. Maybe we can get it for a rock bottom price, and it would be like my legacy. It'd be, you know, like the Louisiana Purchase. You know, we're adding. Well, I forget how big it is. It's a giant piece of property, but we've got a new giant island.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I thought it was. I mean, you know, other than the military, which we already have a base there, and you know, some mineral deposits, which, you know, I guess you could probably still get anyway. That's all I
could think. There was something very valuable there, or that I was missing a story or something.
No, I think it was just, hey, you know, he's a real estate guy. Which is what Kudlow said. You know, he's a real estate guy. Nobody knows real estate like him. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing about the economy, which is weird to me, again, is, you know, Trump tweeted out today attacking the Fed, wanting to do a lot of the things that you do when you're in a recession. And you go, but we're not there yet. You're using these tools. And then it got me thinking about, you know, what happens if we ever get into a real recession? You know, what would his policy be? Would we end up, you know, doing the Pat Toomey thing when, you know, in 2008 when the collapse happened, he said, I want to see a harder down to where, you know, it has to get much worse. You know, I worry about that with this guy in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's all, you know, like I said, it's precarious. And on the Democratic side, because I saw a op-ed, basically, and CNN and the lady quoted Fox News, of course, because, you know, the president was upset with Fox over the numbers that came out, which weren't good. But she was also saying that, you know, it's basically, when I read it, it's over with for Trump. This is it. He's toast. And I thought, they got to understand that the candidate on the Democratic side has to have something to hang on to economically, especially for working people. They have to.
Yep.
Or the economy starts to tank, which will hurt him. But then again, he lays something around the Democratic candidate that they're going to make it even worse than it is, you know. So I think it's an opportunity for people to begin to talk about the economy, maybe get off of a few other topics right now and get on to the economy.
I'm right there with you. It's one of those things I keep asking about. You know, when are you going to start talking about how you're going to make people's lives better? Because Bill Clinton, as much as I was not a Bill Clinton fan, he was right. Or I should say James Carville was right. It's the economy, stupid. It's always the economy.
Right.
And, you know, talk about how you're going to make people's lives better, what you're going to do to increase people's paychecks, and not some gimmickry, oh, we're going to cut taxes for rich people and it'll trickle down on your head. Because that doesn't work. And my problem, again, in this is what we've done is we've, you know, all of this stimulus that supposedly, because, you know, giant tax cuts like the one Trump gave out are supposed to be, you know, stimulative. If that's what we did to stimulate the economy and it didn't tick up, we got problems.
Right.
Just my thought. Let's move along. Guns. Got to talk about guns. Evidently, the majority of the people in the country agree that we should, do background checks.
Yeah, 89% in the polling say they want background checks. The president, you know, by his culture is, I mean, let me go to the 2016 race. If you look at Ted Cruz on the stage and you look at Donald Trump on the stage, you know, which was the NRA guy? I mean, it was Ted Cruz.
Sure.
Yeah. And Donald Trump was uncertain, and I know for a fact from talking to friends back in 2016, because I would do the checks on the lobby groups, you know, what they thought and where they were going, they weren't happy. And all of a sudden, I think somebody in the NRA said, this guy's going to win. Yeah, we better do something, because it was an awkward situation at one point in time for them all. And so, you know, he got wrapped up with the whole position and everything. And then he did what you're not supposed to do, which was to mention, after the two shootings, he mentioned, we could look at, you know, background checks. I think everybody kind of went wild in the NRA. So when he was asked about that, I think it was Sunday, he got into mental health more. So you wonder, you know, where he's at. I still think, though, if they do something with the background checks because of the amount of people that, you know, now want something done with it, and it goes to him, I think he'll go along with it.
Yeah, the question is, does it go to him? Does Mitch McConnell let it get through the Senate?
Yeah, here's the problem with all of this. It's going to happen in September, or it's not going to happen.
Right.
And somebody will say, well, there'll be another shooting January, February, March. You know what? There may be. I hope not. But there may be. And you know what? Nothing's going to happen then.
No, I agree. Because if history has taught us anything, nothing happens.
Nothing is going to happen then. So.
And you know what's crazy, though? This is the crazy part about what's going on in this country right now, though. 89% of the people agree, Bob. 89%. I don't think you could go outside and ask 10 people and have 8 of them tell you the sky is blue today, let alone agree that you know it's blue. And to have 89% of the people say that they want background checks, 76% backing red flag laws.
You got Lindsey Graham out front with the red flag law with Senator Blumenauer, you know, a Democratic senator. You've got them out front. So, yeah, the stats are there.
That's crazy. But
McConnell still may block everything.
Did you see this story from Florida the other day? This NRA lobbyist, her name's Marion Hammer. She, you know, obviously going against the proposed assault weapons ban that they've proposed in Florida. But the punchline in all of her statement, of course, you know, right down the line of the NRA and all of that. But the punchline was, what do you tell a 10-year-old girl who got got this weapon for her birthday, that she can't have this assault weapon. And my first thought was,
you're talking about the first. She was the first female president of the NRA.
Yeah, she's the NRA lobbyist for Florida.
Yeah, she was the first female president, by the way, of the NRA.
Wow. So
yeah.
So she's been crazy. Has she been this crazy for a while?
She was president back in 1995. I'll tell you that she was. I know that because I was in office at that time. I remember her name.
Wow. Her exact quote is, "How do you tell a 10-year-old little girl who got a Ruger 10/22 with a pink stock for her birthday that her rifle is an assault weapon and she has to turn it over to the government or be arrested for felony possession?" And my thought is, who gives a 10-year-old a gun? I mean, you live in a much different area than I grew up in. If you grew up in my neighborhood and you gave a 10-year-old a gun, he was shooting his friends. There's no question about that. I don't know. You're from a very rural part of Ohio. Do you give 10-year-olds guns down your way?
No. We will go take them to a shooting range.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. They learn how, but to give them their own for their 10th birthday is just insane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But again, it's the NRA, so I guess I should not be surprised. When did you've been around for a while. When did the NRA go nuts?
When did it go nuts?
Yeah, I mean, because I remember during the H.W. Bush years, when George H.W. Bush, said, I'm leaving the NRA.
He resigned. Yeah.
Right. I forget what the quote was, something about jackbooted thugs.
I'll tell you why, yeah. Wayne LaPierre called the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms jackbooted government thugs.
Right.
And that caused Senior Bush to resign.
Right, and he had been a lifelong NRA member. Was it at that moment, or were they crazy before that?
No, I think they got, as time went on, they got way out there. And that was the era when that happened, too, was around the time of, Bill Clinton. Because Bill Clinton was president when he said that jackbooted thug comment.
Right.
And then George H.W. Bush wasn't even president, but he resigned.
Yeah, but you had Ruby Ridge, you had the
Well, Ruby Ridge was out there. Yeah, that's out there.
Yeah, you had that. You had the one down in Texas, down in Waco, the Branch Davidian compound. To me, it was right around all of that stuff where the anti-government militia types, really took over the NRA, or the NRA message took over the militia types message, and they kind of became one and the same, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but it's one of those things where you go, the NRA, when I was a kid, I remember them promoting gun safety, and they had a comic book. I forget what the character's name was, but they were talking about gun safety and training and all that stuff, and then they went nuts.
Yeah, they did have a lot of gun safety.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. And finally, to kind of wrap things up for today, just kind of curious, this Iranian tanker that evidently we've been trying to seize, what's going on?
Well, okay, originally, Britain seized this Iranian tanker and said it was headed for oil distribution to terrorists. They seized it in Gibraltar, which is British territory. There was an article in The Guardian that, that there was somebody behind potentially misleading information.
John Bolton.
On this. You got it. John Bolton, National Security Advisor, my favorite punching bag. So John Bolton, political punching bag.
Sure.
He'll come after me. So anyway, John Bolton ended up supposedly, getting the British to get this tanker, and then the Iranians took a British tanker. So obviously, they're probably trying to switch tanker for tanker. Well, they took a British ship, rather, with soldiers. And so America moved to get this tanker this week and to seize it, even though it's over in Gibraltar. Well, the Gibraltar court's like, okay, we don't have the same sanctions you do. But when America moved the Department of Justice to get the tanker, Britain said, go ahead, go. They didn't want the tanker kept. They didn't want America seizing the tanker, therefore seizing, a British leverage point to get their own ship back. Number two, they have said that it's not headed to be dispersed to terrorists. That's what they they said. So the ship leaves because Britain allows it to leave, our ally. And we're mad at Britain over this, of course. Now the big question is this. Will Bolton be successful, because he never stops? Will he be successful in talking to the president and to going into those waters and seizing that boat?
It's almost
Which
like an episode.
Be a huge mistake.
Yeah, this is almost like a bad episode of Keystone Cops, because it's just all of these different moving pieces, and ultimately the worst possible outcome if Bolton gets his way, which is basically, you know, this is one of those war-starting kind of things.
Well, Britain knows this. I mean, look, Britain's our ally, and can you imagine the conversation in Britain? Oh, hey, John Bolton wants to get that boat. We better get it out of here. I mean, really, that's about how it is.
Yeah.
They just, nobody, you know, cares for him, and he doesn't care for them, and they're our allies. But, yeah, they got the boat and released it, and I think it was because we were trying to seize the boat.
Yeah, jeez. And it's only going to get worse. Only.
It is, and he has to be watched on these things.
And this is one of those things where you, the reason I brought this up specifically is this is one of those incident kind of moments where when the economy, if it does turn bad, and if things get economically worse, this is a pivot point. This is one of those, hey, you know, this is one of those things that, like, kind of the change of subject that I often fear with you know, administrations.
Well, if the president had not changed his mind about that hit, we would have been in the middle of a lot of problems. And I mean, the president's even making jokes about Bolton when the Irish ambassador came, or the prime minister rather. He said, "Do you want to bomb Ireland too, John?" So, you know, I mean, even Trump knows and didn't hire Bolton at first, and then Bolton got in there through some wealthy people pushing him, you know.
Jeez.
But he's a bull in the china shop, and he could cost Trump the presidency and, of course, start us into a World War III.
Yeah, would somebody just rip that thing off his lip?
Well, that's what Trump used to make fun of him and didn't want to hire him because of that originally, by the way.
He looks like a walrus.
I'm told.
Oh, scary stuff. Anyway, Bob, I appreciate the time and the info. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.